This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang. And it's a pleasure and so much fun for me to be with you every week. We talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And of course, since it's my program, I talk about the subjects as a lot of times that I'm interested in. And you know, I have a passion for the theater. And I always try to keep my listeners up on everything that's happening. And there's so much, and it's really a hard job to do, everything that's happening here in the Western New York cultural activities, and especially regarding the theater, the local theater. We have so many, and we have such a varied amount, so many shows to choose from, and all year round. And really, we're getting, I think, a reputation here in Western New York for being a theater community and for having so many really, really fabulous, creative, artistic people in working in the theater here in Western New York. Well, actually, I have been involved for many years with one of our community theaters, not community theaters, one of our, what do you call it?
Well, one of our theaters in the community.
One of our theaters in the community, okay, yeah. The Alleyway Theater. And I'm devoted to the productions over the years because they're so creative and so innovative. And I've been really hoping that as the years go by, more and more people would come to appreciate this real, real gem that we have here in Western New York. So recently, a lot of our theaters have had a changeover in management and artistic directors, and some of our old standby people have been finally deciding to retire and let some other people take their place. And so Alleyway is one of the theaters that has had a big change in management and artistic directors, and any change from Neil and Joyce, who we have been my guests here many times on Target, any change is going to be traumatic because they have been the heart and soul of the whole theater community for so long. But I'm supposed to not say like they're dying or retiring. I'm supposed to act like they're still going to be involved, they're still going to be around, right? So we had a big press conference not too long ago at the Alleyway when they introduced the new associate artistic director, who actually needed no introduction because he's been part of the family, the Alleyway family, for some time. So I'm going to have, I hate it when people say so all the time. I'm not going to say that anymore.
All right.
I'm going to introduce to you on Target Chris Hanley, who is the new associate artistic director of the Alleyway Theater. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. So obviously we know each other. I just said so, didn't I? Obviously we know each other for a long time.
I'll keep tally of that for you.
Just stamp on my foot or something every time I say it, would you? Tell me and tell our listeners about your association, prior association, and credentials and background with theater per se, as well as at the Alleyway.
In general, everything?
Tell me
since
everything,
since the beginning?
Well, you're not that old, so that wouldn't take very long. No.
Well, my association with Alleyway started, I think it was the fall of 2006. I was in two of the shows there, and we did Reefer Madness, which was directed by Todd Warfield, and we did a play called Unholy Trinity, which was for Eric Bentley's, I think at that time, 90th birthday, and he wrote that, and Neil directed it, and it was with, I say all the time.
Okay.
So you'll have to catch me on that.
When you say and I say so, we're going to turn the mics off, and that's it. Okay.
It was with Saul Elkin and Drew Kahn and myself, and we did it here in Buffalo, and then we took it to New York and did it in New York for Eric Bentley's birthday. And so that was 13 years ago, not 19, 13 years ago. And since then, I moved to New York and performed around the country, and I worked on a riverboat for 2.5 years.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Picture me in a sequined coats and sparkly pants, singing.
Entertaining.
Yeah, for 2.5 years. And that was great. That was a lot of fun. And
a good experience.
It was a great experience. It was a great experience. And I left the riverboat to go back to grad school. And I did grad school in Indiana University. And then I finished school and I thought, well, what next? I don't really want to go back to New York City. I liked having a car that I could put groceries in the back of the car instead of carrying them 10 blocks in the city. And so, and seeing trees and breathing fresh air. And so Neil and I started talking about what was happening. And so I came back home. And he and I, so that's about 3 years ago that we've been talking about this process. And it just became, like you said, we had the press conference a few months ago. So it's very exciting. It's very, it's a neat time in Buffalo, I think.
Because Vincent O'Neill also mm-hmm. is going to be, moving away yeah. from running the Irish, and actually Lorraine, who we love, mm-hmm. is not that long at Cabanoki. Right. So there's just a lot of changes.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, everything changes. People move up and change and move mm-hmm. around, and it's to be expected, not just in the theater but in life.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I'm excited. I think it's the next. You know, what is the next 5 or 10 years going to do for Buffalo? What's going to happen in the theater community? I think there's a lot of awesome opportunities that we're going to be surprised by.
Let me just ask you in general to explain to our listeners. We have so many, as I said, really, really remarkable theaters here in Western New York. But a lot of them have different missions or they try to perform kind of different, like one is aimed at youth, let's say, mm-hmm. the theater of youth. One is, as we just said, the Irish, you know, classical theater has a mandate. What about Alleyway? Can we describe what Alleyway's mission is?
Yeah, the thing about Alleyway that I love and that Neil loves, and that's what the mission of it, is that we do new plays. And so what does that mean? It's like... We're not going to do Oklahoma because you've heard of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's been around for 50 years and we've seen it. What we want to do and what for 40 years Alleyway has done so well is produce new playwrights. They're new plays that haven't been done before. And we give them a full production. So we treat it as if it's already part of the canon and we give Buffalo audiences the opportunity to see this play for the very first time. And it's something that I think is very it's very unique. There aren't a lot of theaters that do it around the country. But if you go to New York, almost everything you see is a new play. You know, the things that are on Broadway,
unless it's a revival from a musical or something,
yeah.
or a revival of anything, but
yeah.
Otherwise, yes.
But look at all the big names, even right Hamilton. Right, it started and it was a new play. Somebody had to write it, and now we think of it as being in the canon. But 5 years ago, or 8 years ago, it was just beginning down at the Public. So that's what's so exciting to me, and that I look forward to doing here at Alleyway is to continue to produce new plays and find these gems and that are so exciting for Buffalo audiences to get to see here for the first time.
You probably know this, but our listeners may not. This is the 40th season, I'm repeating, of Alleyway Theater.
Can you believe it?
I guess, I don't know if it was Neil Radice's baby to begin with, but maybe.
Absolutely.
It was, you know, and
yeah.
Which, by the way, I've been talking as if everyone knows who Neil is. There's only one Neil in the world, but we are talking about Neil Radice and Joyce Stilson, in case you wondered, who are they talking about? 40th season, so we
yeah.
must be doing something right,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he's done it, and, mm-hmm. and you know, that's why that's why you think he needs no introduction. Because for 40 years, everybody knows
who
he is.
I was thinking, hello, listeners on Target. You are listening to On Target, and I am Penny Wolfgang. And we are talking to Chris Hanley, who is the new Associate Artistic Director of the Alleyway Theater. And we have been talking about the prior Associate director and founder, Neil Raddus, and about the theater itself. Now, when we had the press conference, they introduced that, you know, Neil Raddus is going to be like taking a lesser role, and that we are going, we being the Alleyway Theater, you are going to have something very, very new and creative in a playwright in residence. Is that what they're calling
it? That's what we're calling it. Absolutely.
I wanted to explain that to our listeners and talk a little bit about it.
Yeah. So we have, well, let's let the cat out of the bag right away. The guy's name is Gordon Farrell, and he is a Broadway playwright. He had his Broadway debut this spring, and the play was called Lifespan of a Fact. And it was at the Roundabout Theater. It starred Daniel Radcliffe, who we know as Harry Potter, and Bobby Cannavale, and Cherry Jones, and
all of whom we, anybody that is familiar with theater recognizes because they're established actors.
Absolutely. And so this three-character play was on Broadway. And Gordon, that was his Broadway debut this spring. But he, his experience, his relationship with Alleyway goes back to the 90s when he and Neil Raddus were writing the musical trilogy of Sherlock Holmes. So, and even before that, we the Alleyway produced some of Gordon's plays. And so now what we've done is offer him this opportunity to be playwright in residence. And so what that means is that we support, we're throwing all of our support behind Gordon. And we're saying we really like his work, we like what he does, and we want to continue to produce it. So we're giving him the opportunity or the knowledge that we're going to support him. We're going to produce the plays that he writes. How many we produce, I guess, depends on how fast he can write. So we'll see how that
how prolific
goes.
The man is, right? Well, you've succeeded so far in having, during the summer or the prior season, however you phrase it, a play that he had originally written, and I'm thinking that each time you are hoping that maybe it could make its way from Little Old Buffalo to Off-Broadway to even Broadway.
Absolutely. Girls Who Walked on Glass, we produced in the summer, and there's already a New York production scheduled for, I believe, March 2020, and we'll take some of the cast from Buffalo to New York to be in that, and we do hope. I think that with the relationships now that Gordon has and with the writing that he has, it's a good stepping stone that's going to be able to take some of these productions. So that was we did his production here in the summer, Girls Who Walked on Glass, and that got great reviews. The people who got in loved it. We were sold out. And we're doing his, if I can move on to the next show.
Totally.
The next show we're doing,
absolutely,
which is our curtain up show, which just opened, is called Navigators, and that's his most recent show. Another three hander, and spoiler alert, I'm in it, and I'm having a ball.
I want to tell a little bit about the plot, because as soon as I saw what the little, you know, synopsis write up, I thought, well, I guess I'm going to like this. In any case, they must be trying to please moi.
That's right.
Because of the nature of the subject matter.
Yeah. Well, okay. We do it all for you.
Mm-hmm. I know. That's kind of you. But our listeners and the other audience members might be interested in finding out, too, what we're talking about. Political.
Absolutely. The story is a family who are all involved in politics. They're all, it's been in the family blood for a while. And I guess I can say this because we find out right away. Mom has just died. And Mom was a senator. And the story is, what are we going to do with Mom's seat in the Senate? And how are we going to fill it? So it's, I play Mom's son, and my sister's in it, and my uncle is in it. And it's our story about what we're going to do. We fight, we love each other, we yell at each other, we scream, we cry, we take a boat across on a lake to find our uncle who's sitting in the middle of the lake. All of that happens right on stage.
So we want to think Kennedy, Clinton, Bushes. I could go on and on, right? Political families.
It's political families, and it's that legacy. What happens? And should we be filling those seats with family members?
Yes. I mean, not just family members, but so many times spouses have taken, you know,
sure,
in history.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say we should, because my daughter is listening. I hope she's listening. And so I want to say, yes, definitely. But you're not. That wasn't a question, right? That was just rhetorical.
You answer any question you want.
Okay. So, well, this sounds really exciting. And I know that there's a lot more to be said about the season, and we're going to. But I just want to tell you again, if you just tuned in, you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And we are talking about the Alleyway Theater, the 40th season here in Buffalo, New York. And in the studio with us is Chris Handley, Associate Artistic Director. And even though we say Buffalo, obviously the people that go to attend Alleyway, as well as all of our 20 or 30 some odd theaters, are from not just Buffalo and not even just Western New York, but a wide range, Canada, a wide range of Rochester. I mean, I can't know for sure, but I know that people come to our theater from many other areas as well.
Absolutely. We have a great community here, and I think Southern Ontario certainly brings in people, and we have a theater school component attached to Alleyway, and some of our students come as far away as Ontario County, I think, so they're driving 2 hours to come to class, which is great, and certainly to see the shows as well.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about the rest of the season? I know we're going to get to the quickies, which is Joyce's baby, and she being one of my oldest friends, I don't want to leave them out. But before we get there, we want to just talk about a couple of shows that happened before that.
Yeah, our second show of the season is something that's sort of so near and dear to my heart. It's called My Life in the Basement. And it's about this guy who, as a kid, loved the circus so much that he would put on a circus in the basement. And his dream was to run away and join the circus. And he did. And he became a ringmaster. And he worked at the big circuses. And that was his dream as a kid. And what's near and dear to me is that that's the reason that I'm in theater, is because as a kid, my grandpa used to take me to the circus. And I dreamed of being a ringmaster my whole life. And this just coincidentally is the plot of this play.
Is this an original play?
It's an original play.
And is it based on anything, a real person?
Or? It's the guy who wrote it, I mean, and who's in it. It's his life.
Autobiographical.
Autobiographical, yeah. And his name is John Kane. John Cirque Kane, short for circus.
Yes.
And he is just the sweetest guy and the most wonderful guy. And his story is... to me, so fun and cool. And he made it. He made it to be a ringmaster. I didn't, but he did. So.
Well, that sounds really like real fun, like a circus is fun.
Exactly.
And some people will totally enjoy it, though.
For sure. For sure. And that's only 4 performances we're doing of that in our cabaret space. And then Christmas time comes, and of course we're doing, what is it?
A Christmas Carol
is coming back. It's its 37th year. Can you believe that?
No.
Of Christmas Carol, with Dave Mitchell as Scrooge again, and but in the cabaret space, we've got a little surprise coming from Todd Warfield, the crazy silliness of Todd Warfield, and it's called Golden Girls: The Lost Episodes, Holiday Edition.
Even the title is fun. Yes, the Golden Girls.
So we find out what happens to Rose and Dorothy and Ma as they deal with the holidays.
I have a funny feeling about this, but are all the Golden Girls going to be played by Todd? No.
I think if he could,
tell him
he would.
I asked.
He could, yeah. They are all played by men, though. Absolutely. Not Todd, but Todd's going to direct it.
I didn't want to give it away, but they had told me this already, so I thought that it's really going to be so much fun. You know, the Golden Girls, it's almost like doing something topical when you came up with that, because I can't think of, like, one of them just passed away recently, and they've been talking about, you know, like a revival, and it's something that people will always talk about no matter how old they are, or how young, I guess I should say.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember watching it as a kid, and Betty White is still gone. I mean, she's kicking and
I just saw her doing a commercial or something. For, that's what I was thinking about. Yes. Yeah. All right. Yeah, so now, after that, the holiday season, which will be something to look forward to in both the little theater and the boutique theater.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, I don't know, doesn't look good. Factory for Murderers?
Yeah, that it doesn't look good. Look, that sounds so good.
It's all red and bloody. The red, the poster. I was like, what the heck is this?
Well, you got to get in the mood for Jack the Ripper.
Oh, okay.
You got to go back to 1800s London and think about, you know, people killing each other. Mm-hmm. And why are they doing that? And what happens? What's interesting about this play, I think, is we're asking the question, the title comes from Factory for Murderers. What is that factory? And the playwright says that, well, it's London in the 1800s became a factory for murderers. And that, you know, we're talking about is does the place that you're in or the time that you're in influence who you become? So we find out through the course of this play, or the question is asked, is Jack the Ripper a product of his environment, or was he always that way? And that's what is exciting about that play. We're going to sort of scare some people, I think. Mm-hmm. We might make you jump in your seat a little bit. We'll try that.
Well, you're going to succeed because, like I said, even the poster looks absolutely frightening, you know, with all red and blood.
And I'm excited about that because that'll be my first directing project here at the Alleyway. So as part of the transition. So we're doing that. So that's after the holidays in January. And then in February, we have a play called Scotch and Madness, which for the first time, we've got a playwright who's also coming in to direct the play. And this story, even though it takes place in February, it's about Christmas time. And it's about a guy who works at a crisis hotline. And we think that he's answering the phone call, talking to all these people and trying to help them out. But really, as the play goes along, we sort of delve into his mind and see what hallucinations happen or what creative images come out of his mind. And that's really exciting, by Tatiana Gelfand. And she'll be in town to direct out of L.A., which is a first for the Alleyway.
I didn't know that because I thought I've met playwrights, but I guess the point is they didn't direct their own play.
Exactly.
I mean, we've had occasions when playwrights have come to see the production that we've done here at Alleyway.
Yeah, and I would say almost all of the productions that have been done at Alleyway, new plays, the playwright has flown in.
And now, before we run out of time, we have to talk about Joyce's baby project.
That's it.
The Buffalo Quickies. Describe that.
Back for the 29th year of Buffalo Quickies, which are one-act plays, short plays. And they're crazy, or they're kooky, or they're serious, or fun, or about love, or whatever. They could be anything. But we do, we've got a small cast of about four or five people, and they play all the roles in all the plays, and they're almost all world premieres. We're still in the process of picking what those plays are going to be this year, but last year, I believe, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I think they were all by Buffalo playwrights last year, which is exciting. And lastly, to close out the season, 40 years, is a musical review called Imagine the World Made Over, and it's a salute to the guy who started it all here at the Alleyway. So it's Words and Music by Neil Raddus, directed by Neil Raddus, and it's all the stuff that you've loved over 40 years
from all of his shows. Could we talk about him anymore? And I know he's not even going to listen probably because he's probably not up this early, but Neil, you must listen. Oh, that's exciting. I wondered what that meant.
Yeah.
So here's a person that we've been talking about all this time who is the most Renaissance man I've ever met or heard of in my
Absolutely.
Life. He can write music. He can write plays. He can direct. He can act. He can
build the set, design the lights,
set.
Write
there's
the
nothing,
play,
right.
sell
there's,
the tickets, there's fix nothing the toilet,
he,
all of it.
There's nothing that he can't do, right. So this yeah. is a this is unusual. It's not that common to do musicals at Alleyway. I mean, they're mixed in, but
they're mixed in. Yeah,
it's not like a musical fair or something.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
So this will be unique. And do you think that Neil Raddus is opening this play, 40 Years of Words and Music by Neil Raddus, on my birthday for a reason?
It must be.
Did you? Yeah.
It must be. Well, we're going to have a cake, I'm sure.
This is opening on April 23rd, in case all of you want to know and send cards and letters.
For those of you who didn't know.
Right. And we're not talking about the age. We're just mentioning the date. So, okay. Well, now we want to let everybody know how they can get tickets. We didn't give you the dates in the shows except April 23rd, but
Navigators is playing now,
right?
And that's through October 5th. And you've got to come out and see Navigators and get tickets at our website, which is alleyway.com. So easy to remember, alleyway.com. And what's new this year is subscriptions are back. And it makes it's the cheapest way to see the show. It's the best way to support Alleyway and support what we do and support new plays and say, yeah, I believe in this and I think this is exciting. And whether one of the shows appeals to you or all of them appeal to you, I think a subscription is, to me, it's the way to say, yeah, this is important work that's happening right here in Buffalo.
We couldn't agree with you more. And as I said on On Target, we want to support all of our cultural institutions, but especially the theater and especially Alleyway. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And well, it's been a pleasure talking to everybody, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And we'll look for us again next week on Target. Have a good week and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.